Shalom.
We're in Enaya, Rav Kook's commentary on Masechet Shabbat. And today's topic is Jewish education. And the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, this is page 35, Piska Nun Hei, reads as follows. It tells a very famous story, Tana Debei Eliyahu. As Bichlal, it's a whole diyun, what is Tana Debei Eliyahu? In general, what's accepted is that there was a Tana named Rav Anan, who used to be visited a lot by Eliyahu HaNavi, and the Midrashim that he learned from Eliyahu HaNavi, he wrote down, that's Tana Debei Eliyahu Rabba, Eliyahu Zuta, and some of those Midrashim appear in the Gemara as well. Tana Debei Eliyahu, Ma'aseh B'Talmid Echad. Story happened with a Talmid, a young scholar. Sheshana harbe vekara harbe veshimesh Talmidei Chachamim harbe umid b'chitzi yamav. A young scholar who had learned a lot of Mishnah and learned a lot of Torah and learned and was literally shimesh Talmidei Chachamim, Rashi explains, lahazbiros timot ha-mishnah u-ta'amea. Right? Now, obviously, it can't be referring to the Talmud that we have it, because the story is being told in the Talmud. So the idea of learning Mishnayot and Braitot and comparing them, what we call today Talmud or Gemara, it was called Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, serving the scholars. Now, there is another aspect called Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, and here in the Piska, Rav Kook is going to connect the two explanations, because the literal meaning is somebody who serves Talmidei Chachamim, somebody who lives with the scholars and learns from their actions. Continues the Gemara. So this young scholar died at a very young age, died in half of his life. Vaita ishton notelet tfilav. His wife took his tefillin u'machzeret bebatei knesiot u'vatei midrashot. She went around all of the shuls and all of the yeshivot. Ve'omeret lehem, and she said to the scholars, to the rabbis, Katub ba'Torah, it says in the Torah, ki u'chayecha v'orech yamecha. The Torah is your life, and it lengthens your life. Bali, sheshana harbe, v'kara harbe, v'shimesh talmidei ha'chachamim harbe, mimnamed b'chatzi yamav. The old question of tzaddik v'ralo. Why do bad things happen to good people? And my husband was a great scholar, and here he died at a young age.
She was a learned woman too, that's another thing you know.
Apparently. V'lo haya adam machzira davar. Nobody answered her anything. It doesn't say that they couldn't answer her, or they didn't want to answer it. Literally it says, they didn't answer her. Pa'am achat nitarachti etzla. Eliyahu HaNavi says, one time I was a guest by her, vaita mesicha kol oto me'ura, and she told the entire story about her husband.
Eliyahu HaNavi appeared to this lady, in other words.
Apparently. But again, whether it's talking about Eliyahu HaNavi or a Tana named Eliyahu, there are difference of opinions. The most traditional in the yeshivot, they say that it was Eliyahu HaNavi. Yeah. Ve'amarti la biti bimei nidotayich mahu etzlech. What was his relationship to you when you had your period? During your days of seeing blood. Rashi explains, it's referring to the first 7 days when a woman sees blood. And you're not allowed to have physical contact. Amar amrali chas v'shalom. You know, God forbid. Well, we didn't do anything. V'afilu be'etzba k'tana lo nagabi. He didn't even touch my pinky. Then he asked, b'mei libunayich ma'o etzlech. What was your relationship during the 7 clean days, which you have to have after the days when one sees the menstrual blood? Answered the woman, Achalimi v'shataimi v'yashanimi b'kiruv basar v'lo alta da'ato al davar acher. My husband, he was such a righteous person. He ate with me. He drank with me. He slept with me. even close together, without touching, but in the same bed, and he didn't even think of having relations with me. And she says it to his shevach, in his favor. Ve'amarti la, Eliyahu answered her, Baruch ha-makom shaharago. Blessed is God who killed him. In other words, he deserved death. Shelo nasa panim la-Torah. Because God was not flattered, he was not a shochad, how do you say, bribed by your husband's Torah. Shari ha-Torah amra ve'elisha benidat tum ata lo tikrav. And Rashi explains that the drasha is on the emshech tihiye benidata. A woman will continue in her nida status until she goes to the mikvah. So even though she no longer saw blood and she was in the middle of her seven clean days, as long as she didn't go to the mikvah, you have to relate to her as if she's a nida. Kiyata Rav Dimi Amar Mita Chada Havia. Rav Dimi explained that they slept in the same bed. B'ma'arava Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they explained, Amrav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Sinar Mafsik Beino Levena. She wore undergarments, and there was a physical barrier between her and her husband. Nevertheless, that's not enough. Adkan, this is the story. And I see from Rav Kook that this is going to occupy us for the next couple of weeks. Wow. Because he has a lot of what to say here. We'll start from the top. Tana Deve Eliyahu. Maaseh B'Talmid Echad, the story of this student who was a scholar. Sheshana Harbe V'Kara Harbe V'Shemesh Talmidei Chachamim Harbe. That he learned a lot of Mishnah and he learned a lot of Tanakh. And he learned a lot of Talmud. He served the rabbis. Again, it has a double meaning. Haseder hamorgal hu mikra mishnah v'talmud. Shehu shimush talmidei chachamim. Rav Kook immediately notices that the Gemara changes the order here. Right? A very sharp deduction. Right? Usually the order is, and we know this from the Mishnah, from Yehuda ben Tema, who says, Ben Chamesh Lemikra, Ben Eser Lemishnah, Ben Chamesh Eser LeTalmud, that you learn Tanakh from the age 5 to 10, Mishnah from 10 to 15, and Talmud from the age of 15 on. So that should be the order. Here, the wife changes the order and says that my husband learned a lot of Mishnah, learned a lot of Tanakh, and learned a lot of Talmud. Okay, so Rav Kook is going to deal with the change. But first he's going to explain, why is that the general order? Ken hu aseder hadragi betinok ha-matchil lomod mitzad teva inyan. Naturally, a child is developing in a way that this is the logical seder. Hillel, who learned psychology, I'm sure remembers Piaget, who wrote a lot about the natural educational process of a child, which becomes more and more complex as he grows older. I have a friend who wrote his thesis comparing Yehuda ben Tema, this idea of learning Torah at 5, Mishnah at 10, Talmud at 15, with Piaget's thesis.
Well, we'll say just in simple terms, that Talmud is abstract thinking, which is something which children don't develop until later. But that's 15 or earlier.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's already been many hundreds of years that we don't follow the practice. Anyway, the Maharal 400 years ago complained that, you know, why they start teaching Gemara at such a young age, and the children don't know Tanakh, and they don't know Mishnah. And today, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, there is a strong return to Tanakh, whether it be by Zilberman or the Barkai schools. And my son's finished all of Tanakh and three Zdarim of Shas by the end of elementary school. And they knew it, almost word for word by heart. Yeah. Yeah.
Where was it?
In Barkai, in Michmas. Sheim. Oh, so So Rav Kook says, that's the logical order because that is the way of developing. She'im lo she'yekadem ha-mikra, in inyan le-mishnah. Gam mitzad ha-tchunot ha-re'uyot li'yot niknot al-yedei ha-limudim. If you don't first have a strong basis in Tanakh, in Mikra, there's no purpose for Mishnah, right? Because the Tanakh teaches you about Maaseh Bereshit, for example. We learned in Parshat HaShavua, God created the world, on the seventh day He rested. And then in Sefer Shmot, we learn in the Ten Commandments about Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, Shamor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. By the Mishkan also, we learn about Shabbat. After a child also, the Navir, Yahu talks about Shabbat. After learning a lot about Shabbat, by the age of 10, is ready to learn the laws of Shabbat in the Mishnah. Okay? And the same thing with everything. So again, Rav Kook says this is the natural logical order. But he also stresses in terms of the tchunot are attributes that children have. There are three stages of education in order to acquire three topics. And here's the major point that Rav Kook is getting to. Number one, Rigshei Halev. Your desire, your ratzon, motivation. Sheyeh libo lev shomea. Have a listening heart, a sensitive heart, note elatov, a heart which leans towards goodness, midot tovot, hakdusha v'yirat Hashem. This obviously Rav Kook learned the introduction of the Netziv to Sefer Bereshit, where the Netziv, like everyone, like Rashi, Ramban, ask, why does the Torah begin with Bereshit? And he offers a very nice answer, derech eretz kadma l'Torah. Because first you have to be a minch, the first floor, before you go up to the second floor. And you learn to be a minch from Sefer Bereshit. You learn how Avram Avinu took care of his cousins, how he cared about even Rishaim and Zdom V'Amora, his Mesirut Nefesh and Akedat Yitzchak and Achnasat Orchim, and all the Midot Tovot that we see from Sefer Bereshit. So before you get to the Torah, first you have to learn to be a mensch, midot. Rav Kook, in one of his igrot, a very famous igeret, igeret Kufayin, elaborates on this point, what is the goal of education? And he says very clearly, it's very, very different from the goals of Western education. In a letter to the newspaper Chavatzelet in Tafresh Samech Tet in 1909, do you remember that newspaper Chavatzelet?
I hear on some radio program of the old days quotes from Chavatzelet. It's amazing the language.
So Rav Kook writes as follows: Matarat hachinuch, the goal of education, hi lahachshir et ha'adam letzurato hametukenet. To prepare a person for the way he is supposed to be, a mensch. Shanikudah merkazit sheba hilasoto tov v'yashar. The purpose of education is to make a person good, straight, honest, a good person. Me'az asher echel Avram Avinu likro b'shem Hashem. Avram Avinu didn't learn Mishnah. He didn't learn Torah. He called in the name of God. Through the midot, through natural goodness. Haitalanu lenachala. And this is Jewish tradition all the way from the time of our forefathers. Kichoma shetiyeh mushreshet bilibo shel adam yoter hakriya b'shem Hashem. The more you call in the name of God, here he's referring to learning Torah, that's the context here, that's what Torah is about. To teach you what it is to be godly, what are the names of God. The names of God are Rachum, Chanun, Erech Apayim. The 13 attributes, those are the names of God. Ken yigdal tuvo v'yoshro, v'yeh yoter mu'ushar. That way, a person is going to be that much better, that much happier. Le'atzmo, happy with himself, u'lechevra kulo. And mankind will be a better place. And he goes on to say that the goal of Jewish education is not to stuff children with knowledge. Math, English, Latin, geometry does not make you a better person. Maybe Shakespeare, yes. Okay, maybe. Torah, definitely. And Rav Kook goes on to say that this is the major difference. We are out to produce good people, not to teach children how to make money. That's what Western education is about. How to make a living. And Rav Kook here in this Igaret goes to great lengths to teach of the ideal is to develop the natural ratzon, the motivation, and the kohot ha-nefesh, the character traits, to want to be a good person and to be able to withstand the yitzarim, the pressures that come up in life that make it difficult to be good and honest. And in another place,
even what's called a good classical education is often just for is often just learning chokhmah for its own sake, rather than we don't.
Yeah.
Philosophy, logic.
The standard called liberal arts education. The goal, in some extent, is to turn the person into an educated individual, which, again, in theory, is to make him a better person. The question, does it work? Well, that's a different question.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
There is a desire for people to come up good.
I have to say something in defense of my education. Those are two extremes, which is on one hand to stuff material, on the other hand to just bring somebody to be Dr. Vought. There is a lot of an intermediate area, especially in classical education, of making a person think, not just repeat what he was told, but really develop an independent mind of his own.
Chochmah is one of the godly attributes. That's one of the 13 midot. One of the 10 sefirot, I should say. Keter, Chochmah, Bina, for sure. Nevertheless, we're not talking about just amassing knowledge. That's why I wanted to clarify it with, in Eder HaYakar, Rav Kook clarifies it a little more, in Amud Lamed Vav, Kol sichsuchei adeyot shebamin ha-enoshi, b'chol am v'lashon b'frat, u'v'Yisrael b'firtei pratot, omdim b'yisodam rak al ha-basis ha-musari. Right? All of the wars and debates and quibbles, squabbles between neighbors and people and competitors and nations, it all gets back to Musar, to the problem that people do not learn ethics and morals. Hakol yodim shehachochma v'kisharon hem mityachsim el hayicholet. Usually when we talk about wisdom and talent, those are yicholet, those are God-born talents. Now, if God chooses not to give super talents to most people, the average, the norm, what is the goal for them? And memela, what's supposed to be the goal also for those super smart or the super non-intelligent people? Rav Kook goes on, "L'chazek u'la'adir et ha'yecholet ha'sichli, or et ha'yecholet ha'ma'asi shel ha'adam." That's regarding the kisharon. That's regarding inborn talents. Hamusar omnam, which is the goal of Jewish education, omed hu litaken et haratzon ha'enoshi, sheyachpotz b'tov. The ratzon is the key word here. For example, they have every 4 years, right after the regular Olympics, they have the handicapped Olympics, you know, for people in wheelchairs. And now, there's no comparison between the speed and the height and between the regular athletes and the handicapped athletes. But Rav Kook is saying if a handicapped athlete cannot get to the same hesegim, to the same results, but has that much more ratzon, at least as much desire, and is fulfilling that little potential that he does have, that's even greater. In other words, also regarding chokhmah and knowledge, we don't measure a person by his IQ. We don't even measure a person by how many mesechtot he learned. We measure a person by how hard he tried. And that's a very important, I know in a lot of modern educational theories, this idea of, in my father's school, for example, it was a principal of an open school in Riverdale, where they didn't,
What was that, in an open school?
An open school where they didn't have, for example, report cards. And Tavka, we had to prove to America that, you know, half the world today is American citizens, so you get a lot of zchuyot, and but they b'chozot add on extra zchuyot to somebody who really lives in America. So when my sister Zichrona Livracha was sick, and there are certain benefits, social security, whatever, so she was living in Israel for 15 years, but she wanted, my parents wanted to prove that she grew up in America. So she asked in the consulate how to do so. They said, well, bring a report card. So they got in contact with the school, which my father used to be the principal of, and asked them to send my sister's report cards from first through eighth grade. So they faxed them. And because of my father's chidush, not to have A, B, C, or 80, 90, 95 grades, the teachers would write a whole Megillah. Each teacher would write on each. So we got like 50 pages in the fax of...
And drowned those diplomats
in their shita. But anyway, getting back to Enaya, Rav Kook says that a child has to acquire ratzon, motivation, at whatever he does. Most important, to be a good person. But even more important than how many mishnayot you learned is how much you want to learn. Yeah.
Can I ask one question? We said just a little bit before.
Now let me just explain. And that's the shlav of mikra.
Okay.
That's the shlav of mikra, which teaches you to be a mensch. Mikra is relatively easy. You don't have to be a genius to understand the stories, especially from Bereshit, Shemot, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, etc. Okay, so that's the first life. Yeah.
So that might answer it, but I was going to ask, you said before, you know, the goal of our education is to turn the child into a mensch and not to teach them a trade, which is which is the goal of, let's say, secular education. But there is a mitzvah to teach a child a trade. So is that coming to the later Shlavim, or is that a goal separate from Chinuch?
In the context here, Rav Kook doesn't discuss that. But that's a Mishnah, Mesachei Kiddushin, which is brought down l'alacha in the Shulchan Aruch, which is a side. A trade is an emtza'i. It's not a matara. It's a means to the end. The end is life, to live a good life.
Is how to be as a person, and a trade is a side issue that you need to do for life.
Yeah, well, it's a little more complex than that, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's also mitzvah, because it's also spiritual. We learned 3 years ago, if you remember, in Ma'amari Re'iyah, those who were here 3 years, Yoshua and Gershon, might remember where Rav Kook writes about education. And he really compares, he says, that Western education, where a person is measured by how much money he has, the educational system, obviously, is to educate you to make money, because that's the way a person is measured. In Judaism, we don't measure a person by how much money he has, or the size of his muscles, but how godly he is. That's the Jewish measuring stick. God has 13 attributes. He has 10 sfirot in Kabbalah. That is how you measure a person. And according to that measuring stick, Rav Kook says children measure very, very high. And one of the goals of education is not to lose the idealistic enthusiasm that children naturally have, the curiosity that children naturally have. The children, they run everywhere. That's the ratzon that Rav Kook is talking about.
We just read in Kohelet on Sukkot, Elokim bara et Adam yashar, who became cheshbonot
ra'im. Right. Now God created man straight, and man becomes adulterated, as tarte mashma.
Right.
Of chaos, you seek dark, you seek pachol.
Right. On the other hand, obviously, knowledge is very important, as we'll see in later stages. Let's get on to the second stage.
There's also the difference beyond the level of crass materialism. The difference between, you know, Socrates and a Rabbi Akiva.
Now we move on to the knowledge. Okay, so that's the first stage. Achar kach, the second stage, hayediyah hamaasit, practical knowledge. Eich lotzi elapua rigshei alev hatov b'chayim uvemaaseh. How to take those good feelings, those good leanings, those good tendencies that we got in our early childhood through learning the Tanakh, how to implement it in the practical world. That's what Mishnah is about. Shem kol divrei Torah hazot ma'asit. Achar kach, and by the way, when Rav Kook here is talking about practical, that would also, in the secular world, include learning a trade. Achar kach comes the third stage, hagbarat ha-seichel bi'iyun, the intellectual, analytical learning, deep learning. Bidvarim ha'iyunim, bein ha-ma'asim b'ma she'tzarich iyun v'shikul, bein bidvarim ha-mufshatim mi'adeyot v'emunot. Rav Kook is saying whether we're talking about philosophy, whether we're talking about Gemara. Maybe, in a secular knowledge, it would also be talking about architecture, right, or geography, or right, but things which need more of an analytical mind. That's the third stage.
What you call philosophy? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Philosophy and emunah are two different. You know, philosophy is starting with nothing and trying to figure out the limits of human seichel, what you can come up with, and then thinking with the business what you're given from tradition, even if it may sound like philosophy, it's a very different enterprise.
Okay, so let's call it Jewish philosophy.
Whatever. I think that Rabbi Yehuda Levi would be insulted if you called him a philosopher.
Kabbalah would also fall into this category. In other words, we're talking about deeper. A higher level. Vine, Breshi yalduto shel adam inenu ra'ui lavchin seder ma'asi. A child when he's young is not ready for Mishnah. He's not ready for the practical aspects of education. Ki ruchu zar me'achayim lepirteihem. Children sort of float. They're not into details. They're sort of space cadets.
They don't have their feet on the ground yet.
Yeah. The differentiation between reality and dream is very metushtash. Between Martians and hearing about midrashim, about donkeys
strong imagination.
Yeah, they have a very strong imagination, and they don't know the difference between reality and imagination.
Primitive people are like that too. They haven't gotten there because they haven't been.
But you know, I'm also be thinking about real implementation. In fact, I'm going to ask you. You have older children, so I'm just asking. When I hear that, how is it how should it be implemented today? For example, should we expect an 18-year-old to go through Knot Bagrut, or does it not matter? And I don't know the answer to that.
Rav Kook here, as in most of his writings, is talking theoretically. And in every generation, you have to apply the klalim to the pratim in every generation. I could tell you how I understand it, that it's important to learn secular knowledge, practical knowledge. It's important to do bagrut. But, in the words of the Rambam, there has to be a clear differentiation between the wife and the tabachot verakachot, the servants. And the Torah is our wife.
Oh.
And but getting back to the children, enenu makira inyanim mesubachim. Children don't understand complex ideas. Hanimtzim b'chayim b'fual. When talking about practical. How to live a life. I remember one of our boys at one stage made the bracha borei pri adama on everything. He liked making brachot, but he wasn't at the stage yet, you know, to teach him, listen, unless you make mizonot, unless you make shakshol, unless you make borei pri, it's, don't bother me with the details. He wanted
everything
to...
Everything grows in the ground.
Right? And that's okay. The same thing, bichlal, the minhag, not to have children wear a kippah until the age of at the end of the third year. You don't have to drive your kids crazy if you ask for practical applications. No, it's nice to teach them brachot. They should learn to say modeh ani. But the main idea is to learn to say thank you to everything. Rather than saying those words, to be happy, to be honest. Right? These are general traits which, as Rav Kook writes in Mamare Riyah, in the article which I mentioned before, page 280, once you have a strong base, you can build a very strong building on that base. And that child, the person who has a good base, when he gets to high school, he'll learn how to react and act and interact with his friends in the dormitory. He'll know not to be selfish. He learns very quick. In university, when he gets married, when he goes to work, he knows how to work with people. He knows, on the other hand, we've all come across people who just didn't learn the ABCs of Menschlichkeit, of, you know, interaction, you know. And they, you see the way they speak with their secretary, you know, they, who would want to work with them?
And you see all the women who don't get married because the streets are filled with guys like that.
And there are women also who have problems like that. But,
well, women are usually better, innately, more developed in those areas.
Nachon. Anyway, so Rav Kook is saying, don't drive your kids crazy at a young age with the details of chinuch. That's what we mean when we say ben chamesh lemikra. Only at the age of, again, there is something called v'targilenu b'toratecha, right? Which Rav Kook doesn't relate to here, but that is a concept. To have good habits, that the first thing you do in the morning is say modeh ani, and you do netilat yadayim right near your bed, and you know the brachot, and you know ala mechia by heart. But that's not the ikar.
You have to understand why. You have to understand not every little nut and bolt of why you're doing every little thing, but in general, what is it's a brachot are about saying thank you to Hashem, and all these things about, all these things, ben adam ha-chavero, that seem a little, that some of which seem a little weird, are because we're trying to be, learn how to be good to people.
Even more so, yeah. if I'll relate to what Yoshua said before, it's not a coincidence that the formative years of all people, even boys, is spent with their mother, is spent with women in the Gan Yiladim. And that is in order because more important than learning Torah Tavicha, is learning Musar Avicha, is learning Torah Timecha, is learning, you know, women don't have to learn Torah day and night, and they don't have to put on tefillin, and they don't have to daven three times a day, and all those, and that's more or less where children are at when they're young. Again, get the klal, the general midot of ratzon, of chefetz, of yosher. We don't have to go into details yet, okay? Right? So he says at a young age, a child cannot understand the complexities of the practical world. The fact, for example, the children in Kita Aleph, my father, when he saw the Bar Kai school, which was based on the old Yemenite cheder, where children chant and sing, his dafka was very excited. He said the last thing that a six-year-old wants to do is sit with his hands folded and have to raise his hand every time he wants to say something. Children want to blurt out their questions. They want to sing. They have energy. And the stunting method of sitting in rows, and that was not the original Torah approach at that age.
What are the drawbacks of having women in early education for boys is that women expect the model is built for nice little girls who can sit still and uh-huh. more so than boys. Uh-huh. The boys have energy, and you have to know how to use it. So if you see a cheder, there's
yelling,
tzukim at the top of their lungs, and
the teacher is encouraging it. That's the second stage. Whereas when a child starts leaving his innocence and getting into the dark world of details, of problems, of jealousies, of stealing from each other, and
how much does this cost? And 5 shekels for this, and so then you're
ready. Yeah, and you don't have enough money, and no, we can't buy you everything, etc., etc. That's when he begins to need the light of mitzvot. Ki ner mitzvah v'ner l'ragli dvarecha, the words of God are likened to a candle to light up the darkness. That's when, at the age of about 10, that's the second stage, when you begin to need Mishnah, you need to the details of how to apply the general ideals of honoring your parents, of being a good person, to the practical laws of what do you do if you find a lost object. Right? You found a pen.
It's lighting. It's not big light. It's a flashlight. It's a torch. It's a thing that lights up a particular area.
Yafe.
That to focus on details.
Yafe. That's exactly what Rav Kook is saying. Vayelid b'tumat levavo lo yuchal l'sha'er kolele. Right, the younger child before. About the age of 10, he's just not there in the world of details, in the world of darkness. Kilibo male tom, his heart is full of innocence. Ve'ahava l'chol ha'chaim, he loves life. Right? Young children, wherever they go, they run. They run to the school bus, they run to here, they run to shul, they run to the makolet, they run, you ask them to get them a flashlight, they run to get the flashlight. Children have a lot of energy.
Make sure they don't get run over or something.
Right? When you give a child a gift, and they get so excited by the wrapper, and the ribbon, and the box, and you know, even before you get to the gift itself. V'ru'eh olam kulo kimeshor, they see the whole world as straight. Right? Simplistic. Makor orave emet. Life is the general light, the light of truth, right? A child knows he can depend on his father, he can depend on his mother. My daughter, every candy that she caught on Simchat Torah last week, she comes, Abba, keep this in your pot. She knows I wouldn't dream of eating her candies, right? You know, it's pashut. You know, Abba and Ima, they know the question to everything. Right, every new parent, you know, has to get used to that. You know, Abba, are these mushrooms edible? And where are we? Where, you know, children know that their parents know everything. Right, my father knows everything. My mother can solve every problem. Right, even a kiss can make every pain go away. Right, al ken lo liyelid lilmod hamon pirtei gedarim ma'asiim balichot hachayim. Bifoal bereshit derech yitpatchut sichlo. Okay? I think we have so much more here. We'll stop here and we'll continue next time.
Yeah.